Welcome to Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, a podcast brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. TIPQC exists to improve health outcomes for mothers and infants in Tennessee through our quality collaborative that will identify opportunities to optimize maternal and infant outcomes across our state and is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. The Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast is designed for medical professionals and for patients and families across the state. We will focus on all aspects of the perinatal period with special attention to reducing our maternal mortality rate. This podcast is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health.
Welcome back. This is part two of our RSV conversation with Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. I'm Tara Nielsen, an obstetrician at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. I serve women in Middle Tennessee, and I'm super excited today to be talking about strategies for RSV prevention. And we have Bethany Sanders, a certified midwife at Vanderbilt University Medical Center, here with us today, as well as Andrea Hewitt, who's both a practicing doula and owner herself of East Nashville Doulas. We also are going to wrap up the conversation with Dr. Itoy Garrison, who's vice chair of community engagement and population health in the Department of OBGYN at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. We last session heard from Dr. Jen Thompson, a maternal fetal medicine at Vanderbilt, as well as Dr. Kate Carlson, who's a pediatrician at Monroe Carroll Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, and Sarah Winders with the Tennessee Department of Health, and she's an epidemiologist there and was able to kind of set the platform for how RSV affects Tennesseans and how we do have options for resources and what those look like. And so we're going to go ahead and get started with Bethany, our certified midwife. Bethany, welcome. Can you give us just a little bit of background on who you are and why RSV prevention is important to you?
Yes, of course. Thank you so much for allowing me to participate in this podcast. I am a certified nurse midwife at Vanderbilt. I've been in Tennessee since 2013, but I'm also a parent of two, and one of those was born during RSV season. And I remember the fear of having this, you know, tiny new baby at home and also sending a bigger kid to daycare and being afraid of my daughter contracting illness. And so as a parent, I remember all of those decisions feeling really big and feeling really important. And as a clinician, I have an opportunity to be a part of those conversations and make those recommendations for families, and also to hear what some of their concerns are and have an opportunity to potentially change their mind about how they feel about RSV vaccination and other vaccinations during pregnancy.
Awesome. And I get the honor of working with Bethany at Vanderbilt. And I just want to say, I love your family-friendly, patient-centered approach. Prenatal care would not be as great as it is without kind of that approach. So can you tell us a little bit more about kind of shared decision-making and what that looks like?
Absolutely. I think shared decision-making is really the heart of what we do. We tell families that our responsibility is to make recommendations and to provide them with information and answer the questions that they have so that they can make the decisions that are best for them. Including the entire family is a really important part of that. And that can extend to the partners, the fathers, whoever the influences are on the pregnant person, and making sure that they feel comfortable with what's going on, that their questions are answered, that they know that they share that role in ultimately what that pregnant person decides to do. We also, I think it's important that we always take a non-confrontational approach. We want to open the conversation and to give opportunities when they exist, but also sometimes we get families who will express frustration that they've been asked repeatedly the same question. And so if somebody indicates that they're not wanting to have that conversation, they're not going to budge, and it's okay for us to shelve it and to kind of move aside so that we can continue to have a therapeutic relationship where they don't feel that we're hung up on just one part of their care.
So I know midwives are such a trusted source. Do you personally recommend maternal RSV vaccine to your patients during pregnancy?
I do. I like to start the conversation about RSV vaccine at the very first visit. A lot of times when we're talking about the due date, that's the first opportunity. Oh, I see you're due in December. That's during peak of RSV season. One of the things that we're going to recommend later in pregnancy is that you receive vaccination between 32 and 36 weeks and just kind of plant that idea that this is part of routine prenatal care. This is something that we do regularly. Then at the beginning of third trimester, I like to open that conversation again. And I might say, you know, at your next visit, you'll be 32 weeks. That's the beginning of this window when RSV vaccination is recommended. And I like to assign it as a homework assignment. I want patients to go home and to be able to look at trusted sources of information, to formulate questions, to have that discussion between themselves in a non-pressured way, so that they're not just passively receiving it, they're actively participating in their care as well. As midwives, we sometimes have a reputation as attracting a little bit more crunchy families, some people who may be more vaccine hesitant. So I think when I first open that conversation, if they seem to kind of say, nope, I don't do vaccines, I don't want to do that, I might say, may I ask what your concerns are about vaccines? And that gives them an opportunity, if they want to continue the conversation, to potentially give reasons why that may be based in fear or misinformation. And I may be able to provide new information to them, maybe. But if they're not ready to have that conversation, they're done, they can end it at that time. And one of the common things, for example, would be if, you know, we say, what are your concerns are? And they say, you know, children receive so many vaccines these days. I'm worried about it overwhelming me receiving the vaccine, those antibodies that might overwhelm my child's system. And so that's an opportunity for education to say vaccines actually don't overwhelm the system, neither yours nor your child's. That the experts say it would take something like greater than 10,000 vaccines administered at one time in order to overwhelm the system. And so that sometimes allows them to kind of just maybe open, plant that seed a little bit. And also by bringing it up at the beginning of that, of the window at 32 weeks, we have opportunities to continue that conversation if they need some time to do additional homework or reading on it.
Thank you. That is great. And I can resonate with that I also try to tell patients, it's yes, as a clinician, I can make recommendations, but it's really my job to educate you and help you make an informed decision that's best for you and your family. And sometimes patients, the vaccine during pregnancy may not be what they want to do, and they opt to have their baby vaccinated after birth. And so I think that it's great that we have both options, but we also are empowering, and you do a great job of this, patients to make an informed decision and know what's misinformation and what's accurate. Speaking of, there's a lot of misinformation out there, and I just wanted to, I guess, loop you in, Andrea Hewitt, who is with us today. She is a doula. Andrea, can you describe a doula or tell us a little bit more about what that involves?
Hi there. Yes, I'm happy to do that. Thanks so much for having me on the podcast. So the role of the doula is that we are non-medical labor support professionals. We provide emotional, physical, and informational support to families, both during pregnancy, during birth, and a little after. So I think it's that pregnancy piece that is really what we're focused on here today. Folks hire us at all points of pregnancy, but many times folks will hire us pretty early in the pregnancy. And so doulas, we're building that relationship early on. And so we're seen as trusted sources of information for families. We're also going to be meeting in person with them over the course of their pregnancy, spending probably 4+ hours with them just in person. And then they have unlimited access to us to text us and email us questions, get on the phone and ask questions. So pretty early on, they've already established that relationship with their doula to where what we say to them really carries a lot of weight for them, and they feel like we're a trusted source of evidence-based information for them.
Great. Now, I know that a lot of kind of the misinformation that's out there may or may not be coming from social media. How do you navigate social media's view versus reality?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's definitely something that our clients and we all are dealing with today in our information ecosystem. One of the things that we talk to clients about is really thinking through where are you getting this information from and trying to learn about the source of it and to really investigate that and decide, is this coming from someone's personal experience, anecdotal information, or is there actual evidence-based research behind any kind of information or position? And kind of piggybacking on what Bethany was saying, as doulas, we are educators at heart, and we want to educate using really sound information. Because if someone's trying to make a decision and they're not getting good evidence-based information, then they don't have the tools they need to make the best decision for themselves and their family. And that takes a lot. There's a lot of research coming out right now. The vaccine schedule seems to change all the time. And so as doulas, we pride ourselves on keeping up with that information so that we can then turn around and help our families have that good information so that they can then turn around and make great decisions for themselves and their families. Social media is with us. We need to think about how to use it. And there are definitely ways we can use it positively. But I think when social media starts creating fear or just, like I said, information that's not evidence-based, then that's a place where, like Bethany mentioned, we can just very gently say, hey, where did you find that information? And, you know, let's investigate together where it came from so that we can make sure that it's a good source for you and your family to make a good decision on.
Do you use social media in your practice to help educate patients?
Yeah, we do. We do have a social media presence intermittently, I would say. It's a full-time job to be out there using social media all the time. But yeah, absolutely. What we put on our social media feed, we like to amplify good evidence-based information because we are seen as a trusted source of information. So anything we put out, we're always double-checking to make sure that it's coming from a good source of info for people.
That's so great. I can't emphasize enough that your group does such a great job of championing women and supporting women through pregnancy and postpartum and becoming a mom, but also really backing it up with evidence-based information. So thank you. Thank you for that. I wanted to jump back to Bethany because I think Andrea kind of touched on this a little bit about basically taking care of pregnant women also can involve their families, and they may also be seeking information from family members. Bethany, do you ever include partners or family members in the decision making?
Yes, absolutely. There's so many influences, and like we've talked about, there's so many voices competing for pregnant people's attention, but we forget sometimes that the family is the greatest influence on the health to care decisions that they make. I think sometimes one of the approaches too that we'll utilize when we're talking about vaccination is to take these large public health recommendations that are kind of made at these 10,000 foot views and try to hone it in on something that feels more personal to them and sort of see the tree for the forest, so to speak. And so that includes the family members. And a lot of times if a woman has older children, they may go to the church nursery. They may be going to daycare or to school. And any parent that has sent their child into care outside of the home knows what the burden of all those germs that they bring back are. And the same goes for RSV. And that can also look at for our patients that are working outside of the home. If they're in a public-facing position, they're probably familiar with how people in general are not great about isolating when they may be contagious with viral illness. And so I may use that as kind of an entry point into how they or their partner may inadvertently bring some of these vaccine-preventable diseases into the household that could possibly protect the infant or potentially infect the infant despite their best efforts. And how vaccination during pregnancy is unique in that babies can be born with these antibodies that will protect them for the first 6 months of life. So we're starting ahead of the game. We're being proactive, which in an illness that there is no, as we mentioned in the first podcast, there's really no treatment. And so parents have the opportunity by considering vaccination to prevent having a child that's sick and miserable and full of snot and struggling to breathe, and instead they can start with a leg up against this illness.
That is great. You gave such a beautiful example. I mean, I think as a parent and, you know, everyone knows how awful it is to watch your little one struggle to breathe and then to know that there's no treatment out there. And it's really great that we have the option of preventing this and keeping our babies out of the hospital through those healthy mama antibodies that moms are creating by getting vaccinated during pregnancy, or the monoclonal antibodies that are available for babies once they're born and here. Thank you both. I wanted also, to introduce again, Dr. Itoi Garrison, and we're so lucky to have you. You have lots of credentials, but one of those, or two of those being, you are a maternal fetal medicine specialist at Vanderbilt. You serve women so well with high-risk pregnancies. I know you work closely with Dr. Jen Thompson, who we heard in the first part of this series, but you also serve as vice chair of community engagement and population health for the Department of OBGYN at Vanderbilt. So you really blend caring for the individual high-risk mama as well as approaching things from a population health standpoint. So thank you for joining us today. Can you give maybe a little bit more of a background of what you do? And then we'll talk about resources and information that's out there for those seeking more.
Sure. Thank you for having me. And I just love the description from the earlier guests, just talking about all of the challenges that moms face. There's so many decisions that you have when you're pregnant. And fortunately, there are resources that are going to protect babies when they're born. And it can be a challenge to get when you've got so many sources of information. So I'm just grateful that we have such great clinical team and such great opportunities for patients to partner with midwives and doulas so that they can receive the education that they need. So I see women with high-risk pregnancies in the office, and I see them in the hospital, and then I support all of the other clinicians on our team who manage patients with low-risk pregnancies that may become complicated down the line. I also am responsible for looking at taking kind of a higher view of healthcare for patients within our department and at the other hospitals that we, in the communities that we serve in Davidson County and the other Vanderbilt hospitals. So this is a broader role for me that I am enjoying thinking about how we can best serve patients, both directly one-on-one, but then also thinking about what are the opportunities to promote education for our clinical teams that are going to be helpful for patients.
Thank you for their explanation. Where can we direct patients for more information?
Sure. So there are a number of all of the professional organizations that support women and children mention RSV and have RSV resources for patients. We talked a lot about social media, and I think probably if you had to rank the sources by which patients receive advice, going to the American College of OBGYN website may not be on the top three list, but it certainly is a very, very trusted source where you really have people who review the latest evidence and then help to distill that evidence and provide information that's going to be helpful for patients as they talk to their primary provider about the questions that they may have. So American College of OBGYN has a great website and has developed a video that speaks to vaccine safety, but then also they've got great resources specifically about RSV. And we'll leave links to everything that I mentioned on the TIPQC website so that anyone can access them. But that's a very, very trusted source. The CDC has an excellent webpage that talks about RSV immunizations and how we can protect people from RSV infection. So when you look at the CDC website, they mention protecting older adults, age 50 and older, through the RSV vaccine directly, but then the ways that we can protect babies. And the two ways that we can protect babies would be the RSV antibody that can be given to the baby after birth, or the vaccine that we can give to mom to the mom before she delivers between weeks 32 and 36. If she is pregnant between September and January, when she's 32 to 36 weeks gestation. And that RSV vaccine is a great way for the mom to develop her own natural antibodies that are going to cross into the placenta before baby's born, but then they can also be found in mom's breast milk. And that's going to give baby natural protection for those first 6 months. So that is on the CDC website, and that advice has not changed. I think often when we hear information from national organizations, you may wonder, okay, well, has the advice changed? Is there debate about this advice? And the advice regarding RSV protection, if you look at all the government websites thus far, that advice has not changed. And the data that we have supporting the benefit of the vaccine is pretty robust. So the CDC website is an option for women. You can also go to the Society for Maternal Fetal Medicine website, and they have a great video and infographics with tables, and they make it very simple, but they also give you enough details that you can see the benefits and the risks and think about your options that you have. And fortunately, the information that we have is that the benefit is so great and the risks with the vaccine are really, really minimal. The American Academy of Pediatrics has a website. It's called healthychildren.org. And that website is very, very user-friendly. I think they have figured out the secret sauce, the magic formula for engaging patients and families and giving them information. And it may not be a resource. If you don't have young children, it may not be a resource that you would think about. So for our new moms, healthychildren.org is a great place to go. And they have a list. Not only do they have like a summary of the research, but then they also can point you to trusted influencers and podcasters that are physicians who have very, very accessible, patient-friendly approach that can give you additional information that you can then bring back to your midwife or your doula or your physician when you have questions.
Thank you. We know social media is such a source of information, and we just want to make sure that it's not a source of misinformation like we talked about earlier with Andrea, but a source of evidence-based medicine. So thank you for highlighting ways that we can use social media to get evidence-based information. So I know as an MFM, can you, or a maternal fetal medicine doctor, can you share just one important takeaway message that you want our listeners to know?
Well, I guess I would say I have two. The first one is that the RSV vaccine is safe, effective, and very beneficial for your baby. And despite the questions that have been raised regarding the benefits of other vaccines, the RSV vaccine has less controversy because we know how helpful it can be for moms. And so that would be the first message that I would share. I think now I have three messages, actually. So that's
okay. Go ahead.
Sorry. And then the second message would be to do your homework. You know, we talk about there's just so much information out there, and we don't expect anyone to go home and pull the research paper and to look at the studies directly. You could, but that requires a lot of work and may not be something that anybody could do really. So we always need advice. And I think there are trusted sources of information out there, and the national organizations are going to be helpful at least gathering some information so that you can ask the questions of the people on your support team. So I guess that would be the second piece of advice, is that we do have trusted sources of information that you can gather online, and your primary obstetrician can, and your nurse midwife and your doula can point you to those websites. And those websites will also be on the TQC site so that you can take a look at them. And then I guess the third piece of information would just be for women to know that they're not alone as they navigate this, as they think about how they're going to keep their baby healthy. I think during pregnancy, women do so much just for that point, to keep baby healthy, to keep themselves healthy. And the vaccine is just part of that. But just to know that you have a team of people who are ready and willing to give our mamas information that will help them make the best decision. So that would be number three, is just to lean on your support system and to cast a wide net so that you can get the information that you need.
Thank you, y'all, for talking with me today. It's been a pleasure. And also thank you to Dr. Kate Carlson, Dr. Jen Thompson, and Sarah Winders with the Tennessee Department of Health for starting us out with our first podcast of this two-part series. But it's been a journey, and we've learned a lot about RSV prevention through vaccination of moms, as well as the option of vaccinating babies if you miss out on that opportunity during pregnancy or choose to defer it during pregnancy. And we've also learned a lot about our support system within prenatal care, as well as trusted sources of information. So thank you all for joining us today with Healthy Mom and Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, presented by TIPQC. TIPQC is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health. Do you have ideas for a future guest or topic, or even have a question you would like answered on upcoming episodes? Visit www.tipqc.org, that's TIPQC.org, and click on podcast to submit suggestions and questions to our podcast team. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast to be the first to know when new episodes are available, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube to stay in the loop with our active projects and other relevant news relating to perinatal health in Tennessee.